All right, so this was a little bit different week. I think I said this before. I like being prepared, so I like having notice. I like schedules. You know, I like to be able to say, okay, well, I'm speaking 3 or 4 weeks out, and I'll start thinking about something and, you know, try to have it ready a couple weeks before. And then this week, I found out basically Wednesday, hey, Matthew, we need you to speak this week. So that was a little bit different for me. But I've had something on my mind for the last week or two that is really what has led to this topic today. And it was based on a conversation that I had with a young person here in church. And we were talking, and they started talking about it and mentioning to me that they felt that there was a lot of the messages and conversations that they were hearing were kind of negative in nature, surrounding the world and how the things going on in it. And kind of the focus has really been the last few weeks and even maybe somewhat some of the messages at the feast on how negative a place the world is and how crazy it is. And it got me thinking because, you know, I started thinking about whenever I was a kid and whenever I was a teen. And I kind of thought the same thing. I remember hearing sermons and conversations and thinking, well, that, you know, it's kind of a negative attitude about the world, right? Especially as we're young, we have maybe that youthful exuberance and optimism that things can be changed. We have an outlook. We're looking forward to our life. I mean, I remember as a teen, again, sitting there in church and hearing about these things and hearing about the Jesus returning and all these things and understanding that, but also at the same time saying, but you know what? I want to grow up. I want to go to college. I want to get married. I want to have a job and a career. I want to experience life. And so it was kind of this balance. And so I started thinking about myself personally, and, you know, as I've gotten older, as I've seen more and more in life, have I become more negative? Have I become less optimistic about things? And I think on some days, I think my children and probably Betsy would say, yes, Matthew has become more negative. They would agree with that. But in general, I was thinking about this, again, on that conversation that we had. And I think it's something that we have to be aware of and be on the lookout. I actually found a quotation when I was kind of researching this. And the quotation says this. It says, being happy doesn't mean everything is perfect. It means you decided to see beyond the imperfections. And I think it's Gerard Way. Yes. And I'm going to keep that up here for the sermon. So that way, if you get bored with me, you can look to your left or right and you can see that. Because I think this is kind of the premise about this. Because, again, you know, life doesn't always work out the way we want it, right? And I think that's some of the things. As we get older and we get more mature and we go through life and the experiences, we see the realities that are around us. And yeah, the reality around us is that we live in a very crazy, upside-down world. And we are seeing and experience lots of different things going on that would be very easy for us to get depressed and negative and kind of like all is lost. It would be easy for that to happen. Because again, we go through setbacks, we go through difficulties in life. You know, sometimes we go through setbacks and they're temporary, right? Maybe you're not doing well in class, right? There's a certain class. You've come back from the feast and you're still trying to catch up in a class, right? That's a negative thing, but it's temporary. It's fixable. Maybe a friend let you down. Maybe you had to have some plans canceled because of COVID. You know, that bothered Joe a lot when things would get canceled, especially last year. You know, he'd walk around the house, you know, China, you know, he'd be talking about that. But it's a temporary disappointment, right? It's fixable. It's a life experience. But then there's also setbacks and things that we go through that aren't temporary. Sometimes there are things that affect us and change the course of of our lives. They're major, long-term consequences. Health problems, right? That's a life-changing event in life. Maybe a marriage problem. You know, I remember, and we've talked about this, but, you know, with Betsy and I, when we found out that we couldn't have kids, I mean, that was a hard blow to us at that time. That was a long-term consequence, a life-changing event that happened that at the time made no sense. And so we have these things that happen in life. And again, so then it becomes easier to just become negative, to lose optimism, to forget about the good things, the happy things. When these things happen to our lives, basically we have two choices, right? I think Christopher talked about some of this last week. But we have two choices. We can become negative, right? As events happen in our life, to us, to our family members, to our church family, whatever it is, as these things come through, it can make us negative, right? We can become preoccupied with everything going wrong. And that's all we focus on. That's all we talk about. That's all we think about is the bad. Or we can have a positive outlook. We can stay confident that things will work out in the end. Now let's go to Proverbs 17, because the Bible tells us which mindset we're supposed to have. Proverbs chapter 17, as we continue the introduction here into what we'll cover today. Proverbs 17 in verse 22. Proverbs 17, verse 22. It says, "A merry heart does good like medicine, but a broken spirit dries the bones." That word merry means glad, joyful, gleeful, right? It means a happy heart, an optimistic heart, a positive heart does good. It's like medicine. Optimism and positiveness and happiness, it makes us feel better. It fixes our body. Whereas the opposite, a broken spirit, depressed, negative, pessimism, it dries the bones. It literally eats us up inside. And so God says we need to have this positive outlook. But again, there's a reality to this, right? The reality is that the world we live in is not a great place right now. So how do we balance this? Well, God never says, I looked this week hard. There's not a scripture anywhere that God says when things get hard and the world starts turning bad that it's time to go find your hideout and, you know, lock yourself in the closet and don't come out anymore and just wait for Jesus to return and hope for the best. The scripture doesn't say that. It says the opposite. Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5. And we'll start in verse 14. This is obviously Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus Christ is teaching. And in verse 14, again, of Matthew chapter 5, he says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. And it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." We talk about this verse a lot in our household. We talk about being a light to each other, to those that we come in contact with. And what Jesus is saying here is we are to be a light in this world. We are not to hide ourselves. As the world gets darker and the world gets more and more lost, we are to become brighter. We are to find the highest hill that we can and shine a light and shine an example. And again, we can only do that. We cannot do that if we're only focused on the negative. I don't think that's possible. Daniel was very similar. If you think about Daniel, and we just put in your notes Daniel 12, verse 13. But if you remember, throughout the whole book of Daniel is getting prophecies, right? And he's seeing prophecies of future history. He's getting prophecy of end time events. And in chapter 12, Daniel realizes that he's missing a few key pieces, right? And he's sitting there and talking to, I believe it's the angel, and he's having this discussion. And Daniel's like, well, what about this? You know, what does this mean? You know, I need the rest of the story. And he's told, no, you're not going to get the rest of the story right now. It's not yours to know. And basically in verse 13, he's told to go live your life. You know these certain things, you don't know everything, and you're not going to know everything. You need to go live your life. Go be an example. Go be a light. And Daniel did that. And so the good thing for us is we know the Bible is full of guidance on how we can stay positive when everything else around us is seemingly out of control. And so today that's what I want to talk about. I want to talk about five different strategies or principles, whichever word you like best, that we can put into practice that I hope will help us stay positive in the midst of all the adversity that we're going on, that is going on around us. And as we go through these strategies, I want to look at them from the context of the life of David and see how David was a living example of these strategies and how he put them to work in his life to stay positive despite all these different tragedies and different things that happened in his life. Okay, we're not going to spend a lot of time on each of these either because I want to keep this short because I feel like I'm looking forward to the discussion portion because I feel like we'll be able to learn from each other, and so I want to focus a lot of time on that. So we'll go through these pretty quickly today. The first one is very simple, and it is look to God. Look to God. So you're probably already sitting there going, okay, well, obviously, right? I've heard that forever. I'm supposed to look to God. I'm supposed to trust God. We hear these things, and we know these things academically, right? Academically, we know, yes, I'm supposed to look to God. Yes, I'm supposed to trust God. And so sometimes we can just say them, we can repeat them, but do we really believe it? Again, there's a difference between academic knowledge of things and then the application of our real lives. We say we trust God, we say we look to God, but do we actually do it? That's the question. That's the question that we all have to ask ourselves. Are we really looking to God? Or instead, do we try to fix the situation ourselves? You know, maybe something happens and we immediately say a prayer, maybe we get anointed, whatever it is, we do that, but then we wait about 10 seconds and we start thinking, how am I going to fix this? Oh, I've got an idea. Let me try this. Let me do that. Are we really trusting God when we do that? Are we really looking to God when we do that? Or are we trying to use our own strengths, resources, and those things? Now, yes, there's a part that we also play, right? God expects us to do things, to do our part. So I'm not just saying that you sit there and do nothing, but what are we really focusing on? Who are we really looking to? Do we really believe that God is going to help us? Do we really believe that God is there for us? Or do we think it academically, but then we try to put our own solutions into practice? I see that happen in my life all the time. I know there's a problem. I'll pray about it. I'll ask God for help. And then my mind starts churning. How can I fix this? What can I do? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 41. Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 10 is a scripture that I've read many times over the last months and years. And it stands out, and it's something if I would really believe it, I would be a much more optimistic, much more happier person. Isaiah 41 verse 10 says, "Fear not, for I am with you." This is God talking. God says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." Do we always believe that for what it says? And like Brian said, in a sermonette. It doesn't always mean that things will end the way we want them to. That doesn't mean that God's not there with us. It doesn't mean that God's not strengthening us. It doesn't mean that God has went away just because the end is not the way we want it to be or thought it would be. Just because something is happening that we have no idea why and no answer to. It doesn't mean that God's not there for us. It doesn't mean that we aren't supposed to continue to look to God. David, he knew this. I think from an early age he knew this. Let's go to 1 Samuel 17. 1 Samuel 17. We'll look at, briefly here, real quick, the story of David and Goliath, right? We all know this story. David's a young, probably young teen at this point, and he's the youngest of all his brothers. Dad sends him off to go check on his brothers who are in the army. And David comes up and he hears this giant Philistine just mocking God and the king and the army. And David's hearing this, and David's all riled up because he's like, why are y'all allowing this to happen? Why are you allowing this to happen? And we go through and we see different verses. Verse 26, the end, the last half of verse 26, David says, "For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God?" I mean, we know David had a little bit of a temper, and so he's angry about this. Why are y'all letting this happen? Verse 37, David continues, and he says, "Moreover, David said, 'The Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine.'" David had no doubt in his mind that God would help him in this situation. Because David looked back on his history and he said, "I remember when that bear was chasing me and God gave me the strength to beat the bear and the lion." Just we'll just do a quick raise of hands, a little survey that I like to do. How many of you can think back to at least one time in your life where you know without a shadow of a doubt that God helped you in a situation? Everybody look around. Look, if you're in the front, look behind you. And pretty much almost everyone has their hands up. David reflected back on those examples. And it gave him the confidence in the future. It gave him the optimism in the future. We get so focused on what's happening right now that we forget that God is there and that God has been there and that we have real life examples. We have real life bears and lions in our life where we know that God has helped us. David knew that. David focused on that. Verse 47, you know, he goes and, well, actually verse 45, David says, "But I come to you," he's now in front of Goliath, he says, "But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defied." And in verse 47 it says, "And all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's." Even as a young, again, probably a young teenager, David understood that God was with him, that the battle was God's. David obviously had a part to do. David went, he found those stones, he picked them up, he went, he had the courage to go into battle. He did his part, but he knew that God was behind him, that God was standing with him that entire way. We need to have that attitude as well. We need to look to God, knowing that he will take care of us. And the more that we do that, again, the more optimistic we will be, the happier we will be, the more we will be able to withstand the difficult things that are going on around us. Point number two, and that is to think of our trials and think of the setbacks in our life as opportunities to grow. Opportunities to grow, especially, obviously, spiritually. You know, we can ask ourselves, do we only see the bad in situations, or can we find good in situations? I'm always amazed by people that are able to find good quickly in situations that are obviously bad. You know, when something bad comes, I mean, I kind of, my first instinct immediately is I go to the dark side, right? the Star Wars there analogy, I go to the dark side. That's kind of my first place. And then usually Betsy brings me back, is typically how it works. But it amazes me when somebody is able to see the good in bad situations. But that's, again, what God's expectations. If we're going to be a light in this world, if we're being an example, we do that. And again, sometimes, as Brian said, again, sermonette fit perfectly, sometimes God allows the adversity that happens to us as an opportunity to see if we'll use it and to grow. To use it to grow closer to Him. Think about Peter. Peter, when he denied Christ 3 times and realized what he had done, he was so upset and he left. I mean, we could easily have never have heard from Peter again in the Scriptures. I mean, that was a drastic negative experience for Peter, right? I mean, he did it. Something that happened to him, like he denied Christ 3 times. But we see that wasn't the end of the story, that he actually, obviously, as for Jesus' resurrection, Jesus is talking to him on the road. Jesus asks him 3 times, do you love me? You take care of my sheep, right? He brings Peter back. Peter has to realize, again, yes, this was a mistake I made, but it drew him closer to Jesus. It drew him closer to God. He was one of the leaders of the church. That incident didn't destroy Peter and the future that God had planned for him. David, again, we know David had many setbacks in his life. He had many trials. I mean, David spent years of his life running away, hiding in the wilderness because Saul was trying to kill him for no reason. And, I mean, years. He had to hide out just to stay alive. Right? Just to stay alive. And in all of these occasions, we see that David always, and that there are Psalms, we can see that there are Psalms where David would talk about that he didn't understand why that was happening. But he was always on the positive side. He always was like, but I know, God, you are there. I know there has to be a reason. And so all these trials and different things that David had, it always brought him closer to God. He always came out of it a better person. Even when some of the setbacks were his own fault with horrible decisions, it always made him a better person. He stayed optimistic. He stayed positive. He was able to be a light to that in the world. So we need to think of these as opportunities, again, for us to grow, and that God could be, again, using them as opportunities to help us grow closer to Him. Point number three is we need to surround ourselves with uplifting people. Surround ourselves with uplifting people. It is very true and it's scriptural that we are influenced by the company that we keep. If we surround ourselves with positive people, we are going to be more positive. If we surround ourselves with negative influences, negative people, pessimistic, we're going to become more like that. And you can put in your notes 1 Corinthians 15:33, where it says, do not be deceived, bad company ruins good morals. Which obviously means the opposite is true. Good company would lead to good morals. So we need to make sure that we are, when possible, choose to be around people that have a positive effect on us. You know, sometimes if we're at school, sometimes we can't always choose that. If we're at work, sometimes, you know, maybe the person who's sitting in the cubicle next to us, you know, we have to spend 8 hours next to them, and they're not a good person. So sometimes we don't have that opportunity. But when we can choose, whenever we have the ability, we need to choose people that uplift us, make us feel better. And this is especially important when we're feeling down, when we're feeling a bit depressed, when we're feeling like, man, everything is caving in on me. We need people that we can go to that will bring us back up, that will uplift us. David had that. David had that in his life. He had Jonathan. He had a friend that he could go to that when David was feeling down, when David was upset, when David was hurt, he had a friend he could go to that he knew had his back. Stole that from Chevy. If you're in Fort Worth last week, you understand, but inside joke. But Jonathan did. Jonathan had his back. Let's go there. Let's go to chapter 20, 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 20. Look at a couple of verses here. Verse 1 is where we'll start of chapter 20. It says, then David fled, because again, Saul's trying to kill him. And he went and said to Jonathan, what have I done? What is my iniquity and what is my sin before your father that he seeks my life? We read this and it doesn't, on paper, we don't see emotion. But you can, if you read it and think about the emotion that David had to have, you know, as he's pleading, Jonathan's like, what have I done to your dad? He hates me. He's trying to kill me. What did I do? And Jonathan, being a good friend, in verse 2 says, no, David, you're wrong. My dad doesn't hate you. You know, you're kind of letting your mind carry, you know, go into wild places again. Nothing's going to happen. He would tell me, you know, nothing's going to happen. Now, Jonathan was wrong about that. But Jonathan was encouraging David. And David knew that because in verse 3, he goes, Jonathan, your dad knows we're best friends. He's not going to tell you that he's trying to kill me. Right? You're off base on this. Why does your dad hate me so much? But look at verse 4. So Jonathan said to David, whatever you yourself desire, I will do it for you. That's the kind of friendship they had. Jonathan was like, whatever you need, I'm here for you. I mean, Jonathan was next in line to be king. That didn't matter to him. David and that relationship was more important. We all need Jonathans in our life. Not just Jonathan Faye, but we need Jonathans in our life that we can go to. When we know we're down, when we know we need a pick-me-up, we need that. But you know what's more important? And this is more difficult. We need to be someone else's Jonathan. We need to make sure that we're being someone else's Jonathan. That we're the type of person that someone can come to us when they're down and not feeling great about things, that we can be there for them. That we can cheer them up. That we can say, whatever you need, I'm there for you. So we all need to think about that. How can we be a better Jonathan to those around us? Again, when we're doing that, again, that's how we be a light. That's how we're more happy. That's how we're more positive, optimistic, all these things. Point 4, practice gratitude. Practice gratitude. Monday's November 1st, and so Thanksgiving's less than a month away. But again, when you're in the middle of a trial, when you're in the middle of a difficult situation, when you're kind of depressed, the last thing on your mind is saying, thank you, God, for this miserable experience that I'm having. But what does Paul say in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18? He says, in everything, give thanks. Not just whenever things are going great, give thanks. Just when you feel happy inside, give thanks. Paul says, in everything, give thanks. What did Paul go through? Shipwrecks, stonings, jail, beatings, snake bites. And he says, in everything be thankful. Again, despite what we see going on around us, we have to focus on all the good that God has also given us. There's a lot of good that we see each and every day. There's so many blessings that we have that God has given us. Despite whatever situation we may be in, despite what we're seeing, experiencing ourselves or with family members or friends, there's a lot of good. There's a lot of things that we should be thankful for. You know, I got to think about this too. Think about whenever someone tells you thank you. When someone tells you thank, like a real thank you, it makes you feel good, right? If you did something and someone sincerely says thank you, it makes you feel good. God's the same way. God made us. We have the same emotions and things of God. God wants to hear us say thank you. It makes him feel good. It makes him, probably like whenever someone tells us thank you, we want to do more things for him. It's probably the same situation, right? God wants to hear us say thank you because there are so many things to be thankful for. So many things. Again, for time's sake, we're not going to turn there, but there's so many psalms. I mean, look at the psalms. When you're feeling down and depressed, I mean, the psalms talks about all these things to be thankful for and that David went through. And David saw that in his life, even in these difficult situations. David was always able to turn to God and to see the things to be happy about, the things to be thankful for, the things to be optimistic about. So being grateful, again, leads us into a better mindset, a more optimistic mindset, a more positive mindset. Point number five, remember God's big picture. Remember God's big picture. You know, I think the majority of time when we get a negative attitude or a negative mindset, again, it's because we are focused on the right here and now in our little world and our little space. And if we're able to adjust that and start, again, recognizing the big picture that God has, the plan that God has for all of us, the plan for mankind, these different things like that, then again, there's no way that we can't start feeling better about things if we're focused on that. And so again, a person that, again, is focused on being positive, on being a light, shining a good example for others, helping others, being a Jonathan to other people, they're going to focus on the big picture. And again, God uses trials, right? God uses trials that arise in our lives to help us build character, to help us build wisdom. But he also does it, and I heard this in one of Mr. Petty's sermons, and it's exactly right. If we don't experience life with the ups and the downs and health problems and sickness and all these different things, then how could we ever work with anyone in the kingdom, in the millennium? If we've never suffered, how can we go work with someone who suffered? If we've never been sick or in pain, how can we go work with someone who's been in sick and in pain? Like, we can't. And so this is our learning ground. This is a place that we become more sympathetic to other people. And again, this isn't easy. I would much rather everything just be really good all the time. I would like that. I would like for Avery not to be hurting. I would like for Betsy not to be hurting. I would like for no one to be sick with cancer. I'd like all these things. It's not reality. The pain we go through is real pain. But it's temporary if we're thinking in a big picture scale. Last verse. Let's go to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 18. Again, Paul, knowing again the life that Paul lived, the hard things that he went through. What does Paul say? Romans 8, verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Paul knew that all these things that he experienced mean nothing when you think about what's ahead of us. It's just a little blip on the radar. And that is so hard for us to do. That is not my natural inclination. I've already said. I go looking for, Luke Skywalker, but he's the good side. Darth Vader. How did I forget that? I go looking for Darth Vader. I'm going to go join up on his team. That's my initial instinct. But no, Paul says nothing in this life can be compared with what the future will be like. David, he understood that. It's why he was always so quick to repent. Because he realized, whoa, when he did something wrong, he's like, okay, that was a horrible mistake. God, please forgive me, because he was always looking to the future. God had worked with him, had shared with him his plan. And we didn't even talk about a lot of the things that happened to David. We didn't talk about Absalom. I mean, talk about, you know, being stabbed in the back by a relative, right? I mean, we didn't talk about David, the Sheba and Uriah, the horrible sin, the consequences. I mean, David went through a lot of bad. Some his fault, some not. But he always was able to quickly focus back. It's why it says that David was a man after God's own heart. Because he never let it bring him down. He always kept looking forward, moving forward, positive. And that's what we have to do. Again, there's no doubt that we live in a world that is out of control. That's true. And there's no doubt that we live in a world where there is a lot of pain and suffering happening right now in our physical families, in our church family. That's all true. But it's not an excuse to be a negative person. It's not an excuse not to be a light in this world, to be an example. There's no way we can be a Christian if we're always focused on the negative. It doesn't match the scripture. Again, life isn't always enjoyable. Sometimes it's brutal. Sometimes it's unfair. But despite that, we've been called to be a joyful, optimistic, positive people. And we will be successful in doing that in this life as long as we're looking to God, as long as we're striving to live His way of life, and as long as we're putting our ultimate hope in His future coming kingdom.